Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Good evening, everybody. Pardon me. You're going to have to bear with me a little bit tonight. Yesterday, I got up and felt like I had swallowed a knife and sore throat and stuffy nose, and so I've got a cold going on. I was going to call and see if I could find a sub, but I figured that I would just sniffle my way through it, I guess. Hopefully, we'll have a lot of callers tonight. It's been a heck of a couple weeks, actually. Some of you were around to hear me talk about, two sick dogs. We actually have had four dogs in our family. Two of them are 10 years old. Annie was a shepherd mix, and Mario, a miniature dachshund. And Annie's been sick for a while with lower back problems and hip dysplasia. And I've been keeping an eye on her, and unfortunately, on Friday, we had to put her down, which was very difficult. I held her, and it was from my arms to God's. In the meantime, as she's been sick a couple of weeks ago, the dogs were out playing, and Annie ran into Mario like a football player trying to get to a squirrel and popped a disc in his little dachshund back. So he had been in the hospital. And luckily, he's back on his feet. I'm praying that he will also wind up, getting better, and that we won't have any more problem with him for a while. But it was hard, 10 years, a 10-year relationship is one of the longest relationships outside family relationships that I've ever had. So Mario and Annie were just, I got them within 10 days of each other. And we've talked about pets before on the program, but, I was single. I talk about in my book, I was single at the time that I had my aneurysm and I lived on my own. I had a different dog then, Frank. He lived to be 16 years old. And I tell you, I've never had a better nurse than that dog. And when Mario and Annie came along, the dogs to me have always been a symbol of loyalty, faithfulness. That's for Kevin, our Marine out there. Unconditional love and support. They don't care if we have traumatic brain injury. They don't care if we're in a good mood, a bad mood. Their job is just to love us and to please us. And so, again, it was really hard. It's been a really hard last couple of days. Everywhere I've, walked in the house where Annie should be and she's not there, I feel sad. The other three dogs are kind of beside themselves. Their friend, their sister, part of our pack, isn't here anymore, and they're a little confused and off too. And I see we have a caller, and I'll pick up. Please hold on just 1 second, 585. One of the things I wanted to talk about tonight, unfortunately, I talked about depression last week, and that's because I thought I saw this coming with both of the dogs being sick and just really feeling worn down, run down, and from the time I had my brain trauma, I've tired more easily, and my emotions, the volume on my emotions has been higher, and more frequent. And so when traumatic events like this come along, it's been very hard like I say, very hard to deal with for the last couple of days. So I wanted to talk a little bit tonight, and then I'll take a caller, about the five stages of grief. Kubler-Ross originally came up with the model of the five stages of grief for people who are suffering from terminal illnesses. And then a number of years later, she expanded those five stages to include catastrophic personal loss, such as a job, your freedom, your income, or the death of a loved one. Major rejection, we all know about that. End of a relationship, whether that's with a person, a relationship in a divorce, or a relationship many times with addictions, alcohol or drugs. Those can become our friends. And there's a void left when that's gone. Or onset of a chronic illness, which is something that I got after I had my brain trauma. I had chronic neuropathy, I guess for lack of better, cranial sacral in my jaw, up from the dent in my forehead all the way down to my jaw and into my neck. I have nerve damage from the craniotomy that I had, and so for 17 years, you know, that's been an issue. And about 10 years after, that neuropathy kind of shot through my body, and they're wanting to call that fibromyalgia now. So certainly the stages of grief for me, the first one is denial. And, you know, in the case of myself, you know, I looked normal, so I wanted to be normal. I didn't want to think about how close to death I was, all of the pain I had been through, the relationship lost. I just wanted things to go back to normal. I wanted to be whatever normal was again. And then anger is the next stage, and that's the why me, it's not fair stage. And in the anger stage, we realize that we can't be in denial any longer. The bargaining stage is the third one, and this is where we hope we can postpone or delay death. You know, if you get me through this brain aneurysm recovery, I'll be nice to everybody every day for the rest of my life. I'll do kind things for other people. I'll devote my life to service. So we do bargaining with God, you know, in order to get our way, basically. But as one of the stages of grief. And then depression. This is when we come to understand the certainty of our death and facing our mortality. And eventually, after my ruptured brain aneurysm, I was only 35 years old and in the best shape of my life when that happened. And so it really came out of the blue and was a horrible trauma and surprise. And I knew that people died, but I thought they died, accidents happened to other people, and old people died. Certainly not anyone like me, who was 35 years old and in great shape. You know, that doesn't happen to me. And then acceptance is the final stage of grief, and that's when we come to terms with our mortality. And acceptance, I think, over the last week or so, as I've known that my Annie's clock was winding down, I think I have moved through all of those five stages of grief. I want to apologize to our other friends and hosts. I've been laying low and under the radar. I haven't been on the Facebook, and I haven't been on the radio shows, and I've just needed some time and quiet to process. That wasn't something that I ever needed before my brain trauma, but sometimes the noise in my head just gets so loud that it's unbearable, and I needed the time and the quiet and the peace to process what had been going down and what was going to be coming down. And I think the last couple of days I've obviously had to come to acceptance that, you know, Annie isn't coming home, and helping the other dogs get through that, and my husband as well. With my brain injury, acceptance, that was something that was a long time coming. That actually went through my stages of grief. Took a long time after my brain injury for me to come to. I dwelled quite a bit longer on that and each of the stages in those cases. And I think I will have a caller. I also wanted to, thank our sponsor. But first I will see if call 585 is with us.
Hi, it's fantastic, Frank. Thank you, Kim.
Hi, Frank. How are you? Fantastic.
Fantastic. How are you?
Well, I've been better. I think I kind of got myself worn down with some of the chaos in my life, and I got myself sick, I guess. So I've been coughing and sneezing and just got a bad cold. It's the first one I've had for a long time, but I think sometimes we can really stretch ourselves to the limit. And Frank, before we go on, just real quick, like, because I let it scroll up too far before, I want to make sure to thank our sponsor tonight, Gordon Johnson. His website is tbilaw.com. Gordon Johnson, wonderful attorney, and we want to thank him for being our sponsor. Frank, back.
Make sure you mention he's a TBI attorney, right? He specializes in traumatic brain injury, doesn't he?
I believe so, yes. His website is www.tbilaw.com. So,
okay. So I want people to be aware that anybody who needs help with a traumatic brain injury should go and get this taken care of right now, because if you get a traumatic brain injury and it's not your fault, it could even be something that happened that you were a participant in, but it wasn't your fault, you end up getting shot in the head by a cop or something like that. You should take sufficient legal action against whoever the perpetrators were. It could be a, and I'm sorry, I have to tell people about this, because if I hadn't done this 20 years ago, I'd be homeless on the streets right now, because Social Security doesn't pay enough to maintain you. You know what I'm trying to say?
I do, and Social Security can take, just for our listeners, we did have a show on this a couple of weeks ago, but I do encourage you, I'm with Frank, if you're wondering, you know, whether or not you should talk to an attorney, if you're in a little denial about your condition, I would tell you certainly to consult with the attorney sooner as opposed to later, because it can take up to 2 years from the time you file to have your case get a favorable outcome. It seems like it, just in a very, very slim amount of cases, people get granted Social Security on the first swing of the bat. Normally, it gets rejected the first time around and then gets lost in the bureaucratic jungle. So definitely, that's a great point to check with an attorney. You know, if you wind up being fine, then that's great. You won't, the attorney doesn't get paid unless they get a favorable determination. So if you heal up just fine and don't think you need it, you can always go backwards, but you don't want to wait too long to go forwards.
No, there is a statute of limitations. And I almost missed mine. I got trapped in this, and I don't want to be dwelling on this, but it made a big difference in my life not to have to go out. And I was a chemical engineer at Eastman Coal Company, making $40,000 in 1980 when I got trapped in a fire. My income dropped to under $500 or $600 a month, and I almost lost my home because I waited, it took 10 years for me to win my lawsuit award, which pays most of my, it's the largest part of my income right now. Thank God I've got that. Thank God I found about having a TBI trust waiver set up. Thank God that everything happens for a reason. Because without, you've got to be very careful. Don't go out there saying, hey, it was my fault. I'm not, I'm a Christian. I have to go out there. I'm going to have to sue someone's butt off. But don't be ignorant about this fact. Because if you are, you are going to be setting yourself up for a heck of a life. Let me tell you about that.
Yes, and Frank, DJ did do me the favor. Thank you, DJ. Attorney Gordon Johnson is one of the nation's leading brain injury advocates. He's the past chair of the TBILG, a national group of more than 150 brain injury advocates. So he's written books, done seminars, and this is definitely something that he specializes in. And it's funny, when I did our Social Security show, I told people to make sure to ask their attorney if they have experience with TBIs, because a lot of what we suffer from is pretty elusive, and unless someone has actually worked with people who have TBIs, you know, the person you want to have in your corner is your attorney, certainly. And if your attorney doesn't understand what's going on with you, that's a problem.
Well, I had to wait. I was, when I got trapped in this fire, I was working at Eastman Car Company. They paid me disability for 2 or 3 years. They still pay it to this day. But they wanted my SSID to become that. That took around 3 or 4 years to get that. I can't remember how long. I've been disabled for over 20 years. I can't remember how long it took to get that. But Eastman Car Company had to fight like crazy with me to cut their payment in half. It used to be $1,500 a month I got from them. That was it. That was in 1971. No, it was in 1975 or 5. No, it was in, I can't, my mind's playing tricks. I was hired in 1971. This happened in 1980. It was in 1984 or 5 or so. They were on my butt all the time to get them cut $500 a month off that. Because when they covered the, you, if you work for a major company, you get disability income.
Right.
That covers a portion of what you get when they expect you to go out and apply for federal disability, SSI.
Right.
It's SSI. And when you get that, that means they cut back. Eastman Car Company has cut me back $500. They did that over 20 years ago, something like that. But without having money in this world, and if you don't have a way to, if you aren't rich to begin with when it first happens, if you don't have a trust fund set up, if you aren't having a trust take care of you before this happens, you've got pretty well pickings. Let me tell you about that.
That's right. Absolutely. And what you're talking about is a contingent benefit rider on your group insurance, and that simply says that at a point, like you say, you are compelled to file for federal Social Security, and if you do get that, then your insurance disability amount is reduced by the amount that the government pays you. But what about you, Frank? Did you go through the stages of grief when you got sick, can you remember?
No.
When you had your injury?
I'll tell you about my dog, though. My dog died. I mean, I got a dog. His name was Brandon. I got him 15, 20 years ago. And when he went through, when I had to put him down, that's why I called in tonight, because you wanted to talk about this grief.
Yes.
And when I had to put him down, that was the hardest thing I had to do in my life up to that point. I had given my father's eulogy. That wasn't too hard for me to do. But this dog, he'd been with me 10, 15. It wasn't like I wasn't close to my father. My father was a good man, but he wasn't living with me. I moved out of the house when I was 20.
Right.
And my father and I weren't seeing each other at all at that time. And when my father died, it was easier for me because I had been through the death of my dog, I think, by that time. And my dog, he'd been to every nurse, every veterinarian between here, Kingston, New York, and Rochester, New York. There's 250 miles. He'd been to Albany, he'd been to Corning, he'd been to Kingston, he'd been every place, and no one could really help him. And when I had to put him down, that was very hard for me. However, I found that the best thing you can do is to get a replacement dog. That doesn't mean you forget the other dog, but the best thing you can do is go out and get another one. Now, if you got 4 or 5 dogs, I don't know what the other 4 or 5 dogs are going to do.
I was going to say, I can't really do that this time. That's going to make it even harder. When I had that one dog named Frank Furter, he was a wiener dog back when I had my brain injury. He lived to be 16 years old, and that was the first hardest thing that I've ever done, was when he had to be put down. But I did, I took your suggestion back then. I, unfortunately, that year, and it would have been 10 years ago, I, at the holidays, I had to put Frank down on Christmas Eve. And on New Year's Eve, again, I lived alone. I wasn't dating anybody that year. It was a lonely time. And then my best friend, who had lived for 16 years, the longest relationship by far that I ever had, I put him down. I had to put him down. And so a week later for New Year's Eve, I just went in to buy bird food at an exotic bird place that only had birds and fish in it, as far as I knew, for all the time that I had been in there. And I walked in just before closing on New Year's Eve that night, and I heard a bark. And I was, now Frank was one of the dark reddish black red dachshunds, and I said, what is that? You guys don't have dogs. And he said, well, yeah, every now and then we get a couple of dogs. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, we have a couple miniature dachshunds. I said, oh, my God. I said, well, let me look. And Mario is black and tan.
Amazing. Did you look at the dog? You wanted to take him home, didn't you? That was,
I said,
that was,
yes. He was
that,
4.
I know what happened.
He was 4.5 months old, and he had spent Christmas alone in a cage, and I had spent Christmas alone, and I said, all right, buddy, Happy New Year. You're coming home with me. So I had him under one arm and the bird food under the other arm. And then 10 days after that, I had been thinking of getting a big dog when Frank died. I lived on my own in the middle of the city, and here I wind up with this little 4-pound shrimp, Mario, another dachshund. And so 10 days later, I went to the pound and I got Annie, and she was a shepherd mix, and she was only 5 weeks old. Somebody had dumped her whole litter out by the side of the road, and all of her siblings had been adopted. And she was, I'll never forget, she was so tiny and scared back in the corner of the cage, and she was just a fluffy little fur ball. And so I wound up taking her home. And so Annie and Mario really grew up together. They've spent the last 10 years together. And so it's a hard adjustment for him, and it was very hard for me. The other 3 dogs were standing there when I took Annie out of the house with her leash, knowing that she wouldn't be coming back. And of course, I was upset, but I wanted to be brave for Annie. So I didn't have the outward emotion until afterward. But it's been a really hard, that, like you said, that one is the second hardest thing I've ever done. Annie was, I wrote on my Facebook page the other day, if you could, the personalities of my 4 dogs. Annie was the one who was always wanting to be helpful and herd the other dogs around and be very good all the time. And she would be happy in the background and just very loyal and faithful, very soulful eyes. And Mario, the wiener dog, he's the ultimate warrior. He goes out and does rounds around the yard, and if there's anything living in the yard, he wants to take it on and have a big fight. But at the end of the night, he comes in and gets under blankets. And Sophie came when I met my husband. She's 8 years old, so it was a couple years after I got Annie and Mario. The purse puppies came into favor. I think Paris Hilton or somebody had a Chihuahua, and so everybody liked these little dogs, and we wound up getting Sophie. She's a teacup poodle, and she's the princess. She's got rather a snippety little attitude, and so she's all about attitude, as a matter of fact. And then Benny, my baby, is 3 years old. He's a French bulldog, and he's the clown. If there's any mischief going on or anything out of place, you don't have to guess which one did it. It's always Benny. So this one will be hard because I went a little overboard. Granted, Sophie's only 3.5 pounds, so you can hardly count her, but you know, I think we'll stay probably ultimately in the two dog neighborhood. So this particular time I can't go out and get a replacement dog. I'm just going to have to give more love to the ones that, to the other three, I guess, and we're all going to have to work through it together.
Well, you brought up an interesting point. When I had my first dog, his name was Brandon. I put him down. I had a cat, too, Tiger. I put him down. But before I put down Brandon, I got my current dog, Darby. Darby's around 10, 12 years old. He's gone soon. But 3 or 4 years ago, I was visiting my brother down Kingston, New York. He had two dogs, and they used to play together. So I went out to a lollipop farm. I got me a second dog named Mickey. Mickey and Darby, they are so different. They don't play together. They fight over food, and Mickey kind of dominates Darby. And that's going to happen when Darby goes, because I love him, but it's not going to affect me the same way because I know what to expect the second time around. When I had to put my cat Tiger down, I knew what I had to do. The first time I had to put Darby down, no, Brandon down. That was hard for me to do. I didn't want to do it. I resisted that for ages. I prayed with God. I said, God, let him live. And I went through those 4 or 5 stages that you talked about with Kubla Ross. Now, as for what happened when I got trapped in a fire, I don't think to this day, I don't think I have a problem, but I do have a problem, you know. And that could be denial, it could be that. I think whatever happened, I've accepted it, I've like moved on in my life, and that I don't dwell on the fact that I have a traumatic brain injury, except when I have to go out and talk to people, and they have to, if someone asks me why I have this voice challenge or why I write a book called From Ford the Fantastic, How I Turned My Disability into an Asset. I might have to go out and explain why I'm this way, but I really don't think of myself as being disabled. Does that make any kind of sense to you?
It does, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't like to think of myself in that way. I think of myself as different, I guess, you know, just different.
I use a term I call differently abled. that causes a brain schism in people's mind. They can't figure out what the term differently abled means. It says, what the heck does that mean? You have to, because differently abled doesn't mean you're disabled. Disabled means every word has an anchor in it. It's like if you say the word Nazi or Jew or Christ or cross, they have anchors in them. And you brand yourself. I branded myself with fantastic, Frank. That's one thing. I wouldn't brand myself like Frankenstein, something like Frankenstein Frank, something like that. But I wouldn't say I'm disabled Frank, because that would conjure up certain images in people's minds if they heard me on the phone, or if they didn't know who I was. Oh, he's disabled, and people have the wrong thing about it. No one really knows what TBI is either. TBI, that's another label that I don't really say to people. But because of that, I don't know what I'm talking about, the fact that words have anchors. And if you want to say you are differently able, have the person ask you what that means. Tell them it means you are differently able. Figure it out for himself. Figure out what it means. It means that you have to do something differently than they do.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. And differently than I used to.
Okay. Now,
You said you didn't remember it, but I remember going through these stages of grief when I had my brain injury. It was really hard to deny when you have what I affectionately call a zipper head. For those of you that want to see that picture, it's at inaflash.org. That's inaflash.org. You look at that picture and you think it would be really hard to be in denial when you've got a half moon carved around your head. But I didn't look in the mirror a lot. So, I mean, that was like too much for me to handle when that was going on. And so I didn't look in the mirror. I just felt the pain. My soul was inside of my body. And, you know, I just wanted to get well. I just wanted things to go back to normal. So I certainly had denial for the gravity of what had happened at the time. And then I got angry, and a lot of that anger was frustration because, you know, I wanted to be able to, you know, I used to go 24/7 round the clock. I had what, you know, my background is in sales, and we had what we call a type A personality, and I was always going 100 miles an hour, and I could multitask, and you know, I was getting very angry after my brain trauma because I would get tired, you know, so often. I'd have to go home and take a nap. Sometimes I still do, you know, I tire a lot faster, and I can't do things for as long as I used to before I really start, you know, feeling that tired and the frustration, you know, another brand of anger when, you know, you can't find the word when you're looking for it. My vocabulary has generally been good over my lifetime. And, you know, when you're in the middle of a point and you forget what you were what you were even talking about, you know, let alone the word that you're looking for, those kind of things.
Out there who have this kind of problem that don't have traumatic brain injuries, that get missing words or don't know what to say next. And that isn't something that you have to worry about. Now, as for what my situation was when I got trapped in fire, I was getting a divorce. So I went through a different kind of separation anxiety. I didn't think I had been burned. I didn't realize I had a traumatic brain injury. This wasn't never said to me when I left the hospital. I tried to go back to work at Eastern Coal Company. Eastern Coal Company put me through a series of tests. I had to get my driver's license. They tested my brain to make sure I started at Eastern Coal Company has a starting pay grade. You become a 39 engineer. I had been a 41. I was about ready to be promoted to a 43 engineer. That meant I was going to have two or three, four people working under me when I got trapped in Florida. And that, I swear to God, if they hadn't filled my job up, if someone else had taken my job, I could still be at Eastern Color Company today. That could be a bad thing if you look at the stock prices right now.
Right.
But what happened was, I still wanted to go back to work because you know that when you have a major change like this, a vacuum is created. And the vacuum has to be filled up with something. And I wasn't happy over what was going on in my life. And because my wife ended up getting divorced, that was the biggest thing I was worried about was, how am I going to love? Who's going to love me right now? And
right.
So that, I don't think I ever got depressed. I get down, I don't use the word depression, because depression has anchors in there too. And I never describe myself as being depressed. I might get down from a high, that's it. But I don't think I was ever depressed over this. I had to admit when Eastman Car Company placed me on disability, I had some problems, but I never really recognized what my limitations were until finally 7 or 8 years ago. I lived in this house, and the house, I had compartmentalization problems. I couldn't control my stuff. I had so much crap in my house, I felt I'd broken my wrist. A nurse came to the house one day. She said, Frank, unless you get this house cleaned up, you are going to have to be in a mental institution. I said, what the hell are you talking about? She said,
no.
This house, or something like that. I had people come in from my church one weekend. They cleaned up the entire house for me. And then about a month or two after that, I found out about getting a TBI waiver. And since I got the TBI waiver, nothing like that has ever happened again. But that came because I realized I had a problem sorting all my stuff, which I still do to this day. However, I have people here who are constantly helping me get my stuff sorted out.
Right. That's organization is
is a big problem for people who have traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a big one for me, the lack of organization. I've got stacks on all of the counters of, you know, mail I'm going to be meaning to get back to, or magazines I'm going to be meaning to get back to. The other day I found, for some reason, I put the phone, I meant to hang it up, but I put it in the refrigerator. I think I was maybe a little preoccupied.
That's funny. Thank you. You made
yeah.
me laugh. That's funny. What did your husband say? Did he find it there?
I told him it was real fast food. I said, He found it. I tried to act like it was like I did it on purpose. You know, did you ever do that?
Oh, my God.
Did you ever do that before, you know, when you don't want somebody to know,
yes.
you act like
yes.
you did it on purpose? I told him that since my favorite recipe is reservations, that I decided to put the phone in the refrigerator so that when he opened it up and wanted something to eat, he'd know that he called for the reservation.
Did he know the truth? He just forgot and put it in there? Or is this the first time he's going to hear this?
Well, no, I hope he doesn't hear this. He's sleeping right now. Thank goodness he goes to bed early. He catches me at stuff. He doesn't say a lot about it. Sometimes he'll laugh about it. Today he asked me if I'm ever paying attention when he talks, and I have to watch that because I heard every word that he said, but my mind was going 100 miles an hour thinking of something else, and so I needed to really stop and pay attention to what he was saying, you know what I mean, and kind of shut my busy mind off and give him that attention that I want him to be giving me. So, that's something for us to be careful about. And I think, you know, when you were talking about the divorce, if not depression, you know, I think after our brain injuries or after we have any kind of a major shift, I do think that our confidence is called into question because, it's kind of a self-esteem undermining thing in the beginning because we don't know what the heck happened. So while we're trying to find our new pecking order in life, it's a time where we're not the most confident. But Frank, if I can get you to hold on for just 1 minute, I'm going to let caller 317 on the line.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for taking so much time to talk to me. Tonight.
Thank you. Bless your heart, and I appreciate you calling in. It made me feel better to hear from you tonight.
Before you go, encourage people to be on my show tomorrow night. We're going to have Lori Purdy Fatale, who is in her traumatic brain injury, and she's going to be talking about what she went through. I do interviews on my show.
Super. All right. Well, everybody, you heard it. Go to Fantastic Frank tomorrow night. Same time, same place. 7 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock 7 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Sorry about that. Same channel, same time, same place. Fantastic Frank Show. Also, if you listeners enjoy this show or enjoy our shows, on your program page in the upper left-hand corner, underneath the little logo for Brain Injury Radio is a button that says Follow. If you click on that follow button, you'll be sent an email that will alert you for when a show is coming up. That way you won't forget and you won't risk missing them. But if you do, all of our shows are in the archive shortly after the show has been done live, and you can always go back and listen. Area code 317, who do I have?
Hi, my name is Dan Chamberlain. How are you?
I've been better, Dan. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. I just wanted to say this is the first time that I've had an opportunity to hear your radio broadcast. I'm a trial lawyer, and I know Gordon Johnson, and I appreciate Gordon Johnson spending the time and effort for this worthwhile cause. And I just wanted to say thank you to Gordon and thank you, to you guys for participating. I'm also chair-elect of the Brain Injury Association of America, and it is quite an honor to talk to you folks today. I think you're doing a fantastic job, and when I saw the notice tonight, and frankly, I'm not the most computer literate person, and I finally found out how to get to you, it was actually rather easy. and once I figured that out, I thought, you know what, there's no reason not to say hello, and it sounds like you all are making incredible contributions as we move forward. And it was interesting, too, because I saw your highlight of your presentation was the three A's. And I'm not sure if you've seen the Brain Injury Association's three A's that have come out this last year, but it includes such things as anyone, anytime, anywhere. Brain injury doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care about gender or class. And we have TBI folks coming back, from overseas that have injuries. and a whole litany of new folks that we're dealing with above and beyond sports concussion.
Right.
And so I just thought it was really impressive that you have this opportunity. It's almost, I have to say, I'm from Indiana, and I'm on the executive board here for the Brain Injury Association of Indiana, too. And it's nice because we have support groups, you know, from South Bend to Evansville, and we treat and refer and help people all across the state of Indiana. And one of the things I think this is this forum is fantastic is providing almost a focus group or support group in your own home at your own leisure. And for that, I really have to compliment everybody involved.
Well, thank you, Dan. And, you know, it's particularly important to me, too. You don't know my story, but my ruptured brain aneurysm was in 1995. I'm in the Midwest, more Midwest than you. I'm in Nebraska. And we didn't have in 1995, nor do we have now in my area, any kind of a support group, as far as I know, for traumatic brain injury or for brain aneurysm. The national foundations just haven't quite made their way to Omaha, Nebraska, and the doctors didn't refer me to any group like that or even suggest that I would need it or want it. And so one of the things I talk about on here a lot is the fact that I went 17 years never having talked to another survivor in complete isolation with my circumstance, not knowing, thinking I was crazy, with a little help from the doctors and my own self-talk, because I hadn't been exposed to any of these organizations. And I wrote a memoir of my story that came out at the beginning of the year, December 14th, actually. And it was at that time when this book came out. And I just think, you know, nothing happens in God's world by mistake. I'm not sure why it took so long. Maybe I just needed that time. But in any case, it's been an honor and a pleasure for me to meet so many survivors now. It was like feast or famine, you know, for 17 years, no one. Now in the last 10 months, hundreds and more, you know, not only through the Facebook In a Flash page or the Brain Injury Radio page, but also on these programs. And there's a lot of support groups that have Facebook pages now. And of course, in 1995, we didn't all have computers on our desk. And I was going to rib you a little bit with a joke when you said you're not quite computer literate. I thought you're preaching to the choir over here. One of the things I love about our audience is that they are very forgiving with all of us being brain injury survivors. You know, we all have our challenges with the computer and us hosts with the studio as well. So you're not alone.
Well, it is always good to know that nobody is alone, especially in this process, whether you're a survivor, a caregiver, or, you know, somebody who is participating in day-to-day treatment or trying to help people get the resources that they need to move forward. I have to just brag for a second that Indiana, not only do we have the support groups, but we've also started resource facilitation. And for the listeners, what that means is it's an exponential growth in the process of trying to help people get better. We have resource folks up in Fort Wayne, Indianapolis, and Bloomington at our main rehab centers here in Indiana, and they help people. And I know they help people because they help my clients. And it really is a testament to all of those folks and their dedication and their families to get involved. And it really helps a lot. And I should say, too, that I hope the folks that are listening are members of their local brain injury associations that are affiliated with the Brain Injury Association of America. We spent a considerable period of time in September putting together a what ended up being a 19-shoot video project where we have culminated down into 3.5 minutes for the first video what, you know, traumatic brain injury is and what it does and who treats. So we have neuropsychologists and survivors and caregivers and therapists and lawyers, you know, all the decision makers and the players involved, as well as the families, talking about, you know, what it is that you need, how you need it, how to structure money, how to do the things that you have to do to keep your benefits. And I'm hopeful that that will be a wild success and should be distributed to all states to use as they deem fit. But I guess the overall goal is, you know, thank you to Gordon for this opportunity. He's a great lawyer. My partner and myself are part of the same organization he is. But I think this is a fantastic opportunity for people to really get together and discuss the issues that are most important. So for that, I do appreciate it. And yes, I did see your text or your memoir, and as soon as I can figure out how to order it online, I may have to have my one of my kids help me. I will order that.
The other thing you can do too, you can certainly do it that way if you'd like it autographed, and it's easier for you because we can communicate by email or on the telephone at my website inaflash.org. There's a contact author tab up at the top, and that will send me an email directly.
I will be happy to do that. And I guess the other thing I'd be happy to do is if people have questions out there, you know, one of the things that causes some issues, especially on the legal side, is what happens if you've been brain injured? How, in the fact, do you get your medical bills paid? What if you don't have, you know, health insurance, or you're a Medicaid or Medicare recipient, or you're trying to get your case resolved and the lien is so large that it doesn't seem like it's possible? Those are all very important things when you take into account that most of these people that pay for medical expenses are claiming entitlement or reimbursement to those expenses. So there are ways that lawyers, not just me, but other folks, can figure out how to reduce those bills that are paid back, increase the amount of services, and decrease the amount of money that has to be paid for them, which is huge, because ultimately the bottom line is, you know, while, you know, we're lucky we're not brain injured, but we spend most of our time dealing with folks that, you know, have suffered some sort of acquired brain injury, and so that's an effort that we would love to participate in, and frankly, I think what you're doing is a fantastic resource to everybody.
So Dan, is your two things? Somebody told me one of our other hosts, our Sunday night host, Matt Duffin, is in Indiana. He told me to ask you about Anna Garrett. Do you know an Anna Garrett?
I do know an Anna Garrett. Anna Garrett is our state affiliate chair. She was hired probably 4 years ago. I'm on the executive committee of the Brain Injury Association of Indiana before I take my post being the chair of the national organization. Anna is a hands-on person. She does what she claims that she will do. She's very organized. And Anna is the heartbeat, really, of our organization as we move forward. And she knows the ins and outs of TBI waiver. Indiana's kind of an interesting state in the sense that, you know, we have 3 or 4 rehab facilities here in the state of Indiana. But if you don't qualify for long-term care, typically you're sent to Carbondale, you know, which is in Illinois. So we're trying to change that to try to keep folks, you know, closer to home, to have family near, and the people that you want to have give you physical therapy and life lessons and those types of things even closer. But But Anna does a very, very good job in that. Indiana is not only a proactive state on the sense of brain injury, but we're moving forward in the legislature. We had the concussion bill pass this last year. It looks like we may have a couple long-term facilities that are going to be approved here in the state of Indiana. And it wouldn't be but for the efforts of Anna and the staff and the executive committee of the Brain Injury Association that would otherwise not have gotten done.
That's great. Well, when you write to me, I can give you Matt's number too. He's been busy being an advocate in the Indiana area. I've been jealous hearing him. It sounds like you guys really have your state together as far as support and the advocacy and the resources, and I'm sure he'd love to have you as a guest too.
It is interesting, I have to say. Matt is more of a on the side of the workers' compensation area, and I do more the side of the third party taking care of the family. So we're kind of a little bit different, but still you have to work together because there may be benefits that families, children may be able to receive that if you cut one off, then the other is substantially affected. So there's a lot of different areas, and I guess the bottom line is if somebody needs a legal opinion at some point, you definitely need to talk to a lawyer, and a lawyer that knows about brain injury, especially if it's a third-party case, that's one thing, meaning somebody else caused or contributed to the injury, or if it's a case involving a first-party injury, that would be somebody who caused or contributed to an injury at your work. So those are very important issues, but nonetheless, issues that should be addressed. And it's not just Indiana. I mean, it's all over the country. I think everybody's united in the fact that concussion and traumatic brain injury is an underdiagnosed problem that is being addressed now. The question is, how do you fund it? And in this legislative session, especially nationally, how do you take care of those folks, including the folks that come back from Afghanistan, Iraq, and other areas of conflict? So it's kind of a trifold issue, but it's an issue that I think we should have a reasonable grasp at how to help folks.
Yes. So is your website the same as Gordon's? DJ was typing in a website earlier that was torts/something in your name.
Well, it's funny. I've known Gordon for years. His website is different than ours. Ours is tortslaw, TORTSLAW.com. And we're licensed in Indiana and North Carolina and soon to be Arizona. For a couple of different reasons, but those are the states that we primarily practice in. So, if you don't know an attorney in your state that handles a potential case that's out of state, you need to contact one of the members of the Traumatic Brain Injury Litigation Group that Gordon has put up there. They're from the American Association of Justice, and talk to a few and see who you like and who fits best with the efforts and the needs that you have, because it's a long-term relationship. I mean, these are long-term relationships that it really helps people kind of understand what brain injury folks need and what their caregivers and their husbands, wives, and kids need, as opposed to somebody who really doesn't have an idea about the ramifications of brain injury and to the entire family. So
right.
That's why I would just suggest, search around. There's a database of folks you can look at and certainly talk to them and several of them before you hire anyone. That's the most important. That's the most
great.
Important thing I can tell you.
Okay, Dan, I don't want to interrupt you. We're down to 60 seconds. I did get your website typed into the chat room. I want to thank you so much for calling in tonight. I really appreciate it. I will look forward to talking to you more. I want to thank Frank for calling in tonight. I'd like to thank all of you in the chat room, all of you who are listening tonight. I'm glad I didn't find a sub. I was just really feeling sad sad about losing Annie and not feeling good with this cold that I took on yesterday, and just didn't think that I was up for it. And just when you get the idea you're not up for it, we have a really great show. So I'm going to close in the usual way tonight with something I think that we all have, and that is A Guardian Angel by Leah West. Thanks so much, you guys. Have a great night, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
God replies, yes, it's your time to leave. But don't you worry, it won't be there alone. You see, there's someone who's been waiting for you. Quietly hoping and praying, everyone is.
This is Jenny Garth from I Do Part 2. Did you know that Future Health can help make weight loss resolutions come true? When it's about biology and not willpower, it's not your fault that the dieting just doesn't work. Find out if weight loss meds are right for you in just 3 minutes for less than $3 a day. Did you know that with weight loss medication, you can lose up to 1.5% of your body fat per week? I know people struggling to lose that in a month. My friend always struggled with her weight. And because health is such an important factor in my life, they turned to me for advice on different areas that they should look into. I supported science-backed approaches like GLP-1s, and with my encouragement, they gave them a try, and they're loving the results. Just take their quick 3-minute survey. From there, if approved by a clinician, you'll get prescribed and you get meds delivered to your door within 24 hours. Find out if weight loss meds are right for you in just 3 minutes at tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at provider's discretion and results may vary. Sponsored by Future Health.
Girls just want to design robots, rule the field, study global policies. Oh, and have fun. Welcome to Marion. Don't miss our open house, Sunday, November 17th, noon to 2:30. Take a student-guided tour, chat with faculty and coaches, and learn all about Nebraska's only all-girls Class A Catholic college prep school. Pre-register at marionhighschool.net/open-house.